There are a number of things that we do in life that are part of our daily walk. Marriage is one of those things. Rearing of children, that's one of those things. The ideals that we have in mind about making a living, that's a part of it as well. Now, what we decide to do. But does God intervene in information that we need to have regarding those situations that we've chosen to have in our daily walk of life? If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll notice one that he talks about right there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning verse 1, he says regarding this matter, now concerning, they had a question or two in mind, and so they wrote to him, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore unto the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I. The ideas that Paul had in mind as he taught the people the Word of God, he taught them not to burn in their own temptations, not to be people who were so involved that they had power, left their body for themselves, and had it in the hands of someone else. But to the contrary, that each one care enough about, and God would be with them as they did so. He says, therefore, I say, therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. The idea of the word there is permoa, and it means to burn a flame. It means to have a difficulty controlling the passions within the body. And in such a case, it would be better for them to seek out a marriage again. He did not wish that they should be people who went about at the nighttime seeking whomever they willed and seeking whomever they wanted to, and therefore be subject to them, physically speaking to them. This is one of those things that God has entered into the picture. He's not a person who is there in the middle of it, but he is there for the ideals in mind. And he wants to be there and be a part of the life. He says in verse 17 of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. If any man is in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. The idea was to be a person who recognizes that God wants to be in your life, and in the decisions that you make and the activities that you engage, choose to be in marriage and be it in a kind a kind of godly way. He says in verse 24, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, thereby abide in God." Abide with God. Do the work that you need to do. Carry out the work that you need to do. And be that kind of person. There are a lot of things in the Bible that we teach about that are man-made. Man situations go on. One of those things in regard to life, turn to the book of Ephesians now, chapter 6, in reference to the matter. You see the idea in regard to the way that people rear their children. You fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It is said regarding this matter, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What if they're not in the Lord? Do I have to be obedient to them? Yes. That's the way and the ideal that they will see that you have a standard that is higher than yourself. And they will understand that that's a situation of God. You can turn them to such verses as this in the Bible to show them, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants," he says, "be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and with the good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." He tells them that this is a way of life that you need to live. You need to live a life that does not contribute to the anger and the disposition of anger and fighting and wrath that goes on. You just do not need to do that. You need to be a person who continues to be obedient to your master. He has brought you to his home to be obedient to him. And as he directs you. Now there were those who we know historically in the past in having slaves. They took advantage of the fact that they could, this verse of scripture they would cite. And they would say, "I'm over you." And as a result of that, "You yield to me." And yielding to them meant that they were to be in fornication with them, bear children for them. And there were children in families that were just as much a part of the family by way of the father as they were of the marriage. And so it is the case that that be done. And that's just not the righteous thing to do. He says this matter in verse 9. He says, "Ye masters, do the same things for them, unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Wonderful is the way that God would have it to be directed. And let's look and ask myself in prayer and thoughtfulness, "God, I have these slaves, I have these people who are part of a household. Are they supposed to yield to me as regarding my desire, my will?" We've already read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the will of God and the burning of temptation that might be their part of that person's life, passions and the like. Not to get into that way of life. Leave that aside. And he says in verse 11 something else about another matter. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The Lord wants us to be prepared for his coming again. And along the way, we find the opportunity to be people who in this home life and in this way of life have a way in which they wrestle with others. We have a way in which they do these sort of things. And he says there in verse 12, significantly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's think about that particular thing as we meet up with people and as we see people and as they offer to us an opportunity to get into a wrestling match with them and to a fisticuffs with them and to a way in which we can be involved with them. Let's be people who serve God instead, because that's the idea that he says. He says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having a preparation in such a way that when you're there with them, and they offer you an opportunity to be taken advantage of by fisticuffs or whatever power that they have, that you can be a person who recognizes that they're doing just the flesh and blood. And your war is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's the way of life that this world goes by that we're not to be a part of. And so therefore we can turn away from that. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly so as to make known the mystery of the gospel. That word mystery was the beginning of my study in this particular area. Mystery meaning a plan of God, revealed a part at a time so that those enemies would not see the full mystery and know where you'd be going with the whole thing, but they would see the effects of that mystery. Thus you would live in such a way that you can have that to be done. He says in verse number 19, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, so to speak, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's a certain way that he ought to speak, and there's a certain way that he should not speak. And he's mentioned already some things that he ought not to speak. He ought not to be wild, and he ought not to be a person who takes advantage of. He ought not to be a person who is filled with his passions to the degree that he approves himself for any kind of conduct that he may do. It's a sad situation that you may have to face those kind of things. Worldly things they are, but the worldly things are ruled by God as he lives and does his work in the world in which we live. He says regarding this matter in verse 22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, you may know of our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Talk about Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord. And he shall make known to you all these things and more. And he says, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, be unto all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, without wax. Amen. This is the way of life that he talked about as he closes out the book of Ephesians. And so this is the way of life that we would teach tonight, that there may be many things in our lives that come in from time to time. And instead of making a decision on the basis of how we feel about it, let's look unto God and ask of him in prayer his particular words in the Bible. And you know, there may be times in which you open your Bible and you see that that particular topic is right there in front of you. That God has spoken about it, that he's taught about it, that he's given instruction about it. And therefore you can change your way of life that you otherwise would do. That's the way that God would have us to live and behave. The song of invitation provided tonight, think about your relationship with God as we stand together and sing this old hymn that reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Let's stand as we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the questions of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? Where will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make yourself spotless and washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? Where will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love and for your Son that you sent to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. We're thankful, Father, to be able to get around this table to partake of this loaf that represents the body of your Son upon that cross. We pray that the one partake of it may do so tonight and be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our thanks to Heavenly Father for this cut fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. Father, again, we pray that the one who takes of it may do so in mind and be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wednesday night, our meeting time, and our ladies perhaps need to discuss that next Sunday, although it's potluck Sunday for us, singing potluck is also another special kind of day.
No, I don't think we need potluck.
Mother's Day.
Easter.
Is that what?
Family's coming in.
I'm going to have it the fourth Sunday.
Which do that?
Do it on the fourth Sunday? Yeah. And the same thing about the next month is Father's Day on the third Sunday.
Oh, it's Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is the second Sunday.
Second Sunday.
Father's Day in June.
In June. Be the time. So it'll be a possibility to change there. But we're thinking about that sort of thing already.
That's prayer number 102.
Bear us, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee.
Yeah.